Blog Talk Radio.
Gone. Y'all wrote down my record deal on tablets of stone. Couldn't turn my back to his throne, so I had to make a choice. When you hear me say yell, I don't mean raise your voice. I'm talking about who we strive with, the only power to side with. So be wise when the king rides, cause you don't want to collide with. Say party hard and live fast, it's the way to live, I can't tell. It's overrated, all hype, Johnny Manziel. You thinking that I'm new to this, that set apart, I've been on it. My chariot had camel skin, interior and rims on it. Inferior, these rappers are, their music used to destroy. So now these kids want to grow up and be gangsters and D-boys. A pimp's out on that scroll, huh? But that ain't how we roll, huh? I'm only giving you food for thought and a slice of pie for your soul, huh? See my eye key riding out and I'm bending corners right after him. If they asking you who Sam is, let them know the acronym and I'm
rolling in my chariot, banging that set apart. That's what's swinging every time a brew walk. Every time a brew talk, no one represents y'all. Hebrew, Israelite, yeah, boy.
We the squad.
Rolling in my chariot, yeah, banging ass at a bar. Coupions, that's what's swinging every time a brew walk. Every time a brew talk, no one represents y'all. Hebrew, Israelite, yeah, boy.
We the squad.
Without you in our life, we are losers.
Know that, yeah, for all the blessings that you gave. Know that, yeah, for all the times that you saved. Know that, yeah, for all the things that you do. Know that, yeah, you are the one who see us through. Growing up in a day, there is so many with my life would not turn out if it wasn't you. So me, I forgive you all the prayers and the anatomy. I'm a young, it's only you. Without you, we have nothing. But with you, we move mountains. Tell the rock to spring water like fountain. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Tell the lame to walk to you. Here we go again. Sing on the praise again. Never show hallelujah till it reach up to heaven. Give me a paper, pass a pen. Let me write a song again. Giving up by all the glory to deserve the world of them. Because thank you for the joy and the pain. Thank you for the sun and the rain. Thank you for the good and the bad. We happy when we stand. I pray that you will be glad that you
know that, yeah, for all the blessings that you gave. Know that, yeah, for all the times that you saved. Know that, yeah, for all the things that you do. Know that, yeah, you are the one who see us through. Know that, yeah, for all the blessings that you gave. Know that, yeah, for all the times that you saved. Know that, yeah, for all the things that you do. Know that, yeah, you are the one who see us through. Woke up this morning with a big smile on my face. I'm giving thanks to the Lord for all the blessings He gave. We might not be rich people, or cars in the driveway, but God, I'm in need the most. God provide them for me. Give me health and Him give me strength. I'm me a bad habit, can't pay my rent. I'm me two children, them melty. Clothes from them bank and them never get hungry now. I grab me a brand cause it's not my doing. The most I bless, so we give praise to Him. For the present and the past and the future. We don't get in our life, we are losers, wow.
Know that,
yeah,
for all the blessings that you gave. For all the times that you saved. For all the things that you do. You are the one who see us through. Know that, yeah.
Hallelujah. Big ups and Shabbat Shalom to everybody out there in Radio Land. Welcome, 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 man. How y'all be? How y'all feel? How y'all doing, man? Y'all know what this is about. Y'all know what we're here to do. So for about the next hour and a half or thereabouts, we will be providing that hostile takeover of these here radio waves. And y'all know me, man. I can't do it by myself. So I'm joined by my men, my Akeem, my man 50 Grand, Akeem Boaz. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. What up?
Hey, what up, though? Hey, Shabbat Shalom to the fam, man. Y'all bless y'all on this day. Rest easy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And fam, as always, this is a live call-in show. And that live call-in number is area code 319-527-6302. Again, the number is 319-527-6302. Then you'll be thrown in the host queue with our Akshaya Ben Yisrael. He's the producer extraordinaire on the ones and twos. So that soulful melody that y'all hear coming through your speakers, that's all provided thanks in part to the Aki. And without further ado, hey, Shabbat Shalom. Big Ak, what's happening?
Shabbat Shalom, Akeem. How y'all doing? Shabbat Shalom to everybody out there in Radio Land tuning in. Glad that y'all can join us. And another hot topic tonight, so stay tuned. And like always, we do like for you guys to call in with questions or comments. So once again, Shabbat Shalom to Israel, and may y'all bless you.
Yeah! You know how we do, fam. Yeah, man. Like the Ox said, tonight's show topic, we're going to be talking about your new president-elect for all of you voters out there. We're going to be talking about that, man, and just some of the things that have taken place in this short week. You know what I'm saying? It's been a very, very eventful week, the first week of his presidency, man. A lot of stuff is going on, and we're just going to talk about some of the spiritual implications of it. You know, kind of looking out, we'll be referencing, of course, the scriptures. You know, we'll be... So if you got your scriptures handy, hey, hallelujah. But if not, I definitely suggest that you, if you don't have access to them, at least write down some of the scriptures that we will be reading tonight, because they're very pertinent to your understanding, you know, of all of the world's events. So, yeah, man, you know, been a lot of stuff going on, Akeem, a lot of stuff. And what I just did was just took out a little timeline of, you know, just a little snapshot of just some of the things that have taken place this week. And, you know, with tonight's show, man, I figure we can kind of chime in on it and talk about it and discuss some of the spiritual implications, man. One of the things that really jumped out at me was, of course, you know, the building of the wall, you know, and I mean, among other things. But that right there really spoke to me. And I'll tell you why, man. Just, you know, this whole thing, you know, even going back to prior to him even becoming becoming a nominee, you know, to run for, you know, the office, man. It was just all about, you know, making America great again. And I know you guys have heard us talk about this, you know, on timeless occasions, but you have to think about that. You know what I'm saying? What constitutes greatness, and what has Mystery Babylon done that was so great that she's longing to get back to? You know what I'm saying? It's always been great for her. You know what I'm saying? She's always had it great. This is her country. I mean, hell, she stole the land from, you know, from a people, kicked the people out, you know what I'm saying, and then brought people over from, you know, from continents far, you know, far off to build the land and to cultivate the land. You know what I'm saying? So she's always had her way. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, like, okay, what is, you know, what does all of this mean? Make America great again. But that's what she wants to do, because, you know, the Gentile white privilege has been threatened, you know, these past 8 years. And it's really interesting to see that, you know, one of the first things that he did was, or that he's doing, is trying to basically erase everything that, you know, the preceding president had done. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. And then just this building of the walls. It's so funny when we think about the language of the dragon, how, you know, they had the most prayers, you know, and all of this stuff. And even with, it was funny, we were listening to NPR earlier, just a little while ago, maybe about an hour or two ago. And, you know, and this was in response to Madonna saying that she was going to blow up, you know, or she wanted to blow up the White House. It's funny how, you know, he was saying, like, you know, Jesus loves you and all of this stuff. And, of course, he was making light of the situation. But just the fact that he's, you know, pandering to a certain audience, and he's, you know what I'm saying, he's playing that religious thing. But, again, getting back to the point, here you are right here. You're building walls, but yet you're speaking with the language of a dragon. You're speaking, you know, all of these prayers. And, you know, I remember on the inauguration day when they had the Hebrew dude get up there and pray and all of this stuff. And it's just all of this stuff that's going on, man. We really need to be paying attention to, you know, this stuff that's, you know, these things that's going on. You're saying one thing, but here it is right here. He signed a pair of executive orders, you know, designed to build a wall. And I think that wall is going to cost about $50 billion, I want to say. That's the price tag on it. Yeah. So if you want to, you know,
anywhere between 12 and, you know, Dow, anywhere between $12 and $15 billion to build, and then upwards of $50 billion for maintenance, patrol, and all the costs that will be accrued by having, you know, such a wall. Mexico said they're not building it. It's not going to happen. That's what they said. You know, Trump said, right. Hey, you are. You know what I mean? So this whole thing with him and military arms and saying that, hey, I want to, you know, have a race for military arms, you best believe that's going to be for not just protection of Mystery Babylon of the United States, but for enforcement, you know, of the mandates that he's put out. Man, he's been in office for a week, and he's already signing executive orders, you know. Executive orders. I mean, like, yo, this is how it goes down. I'm writing this out. This is how it goes, period. Point blank, you know. And so, you know, President Obama was – no president has signed as many executive orders as Barack Obama. Combined, all 43 presidents before him combined, he signed the most, all right? I got a feeling Trump's going to outpace him, you know. And okay. The question remains is, you know, where do the children of Israel fit in with this and what he's going to be doing, you know? Hey, it's only been a week.
Right.
I said we got to wait and see. We got to see exactly what Yah is going to do, you know what I mean? And we definitely just got to go ahead and be prayerful as to what's happening. Hey, you know what? Let's just go ahead and start off with a script right now, right? Proverbs 21:1. The book of Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is as channels of water in the hand of Yah. He turns it wherever he wishes. Whatever executive order this man assigns, and however it affects Israel, you best believe that is Yah's will and is Yah's plan. So fret not, okay? Be on guard, be prepared, absolutely. But have no fear. But whatever he does is for the betterment of Yisrael, and ultimately is working towards our final deliverance.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting, too. I know you probably heard about the – this is – let me read this article real quick. I'm going to post it in the chat room as well. He threatened to send in the feds to Chicago to fix the carnage, as he calls it.
Mm.
And it says, I quote, if Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, 228 shootings in 2017 with 42 killings, 2017 just started. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy.
We're not even full month in. It's only the 27th. Them niggas killing two people a day.
Yeah. So let me reread that again, just so we grasp the fullness of that. You know what I'm saying? It says if Chicago does, and this is where I'm reading from. This is from the New York Times. So let me post this in the chat room so you guys can check that out. But yeah, man. Let's see here. Alrighty, give me one second. Now, all right, let's see. Yeah, Trump threatens federal intervention in Chicago, citing carnage. All right, check this out. It says here, President Trump threatened federal intervention in Chicago on Tuesday night if the city does not do more to address the violent crime, resurfacing a criticism he made during his presidential campaign. If Chicago doesn't fix, and I quote, if Chicago doesn't fix the horrible carnage going on, 228 shootings in 2017 with 42 killings, up 24% from 2016, I will send in the feds, he said on Twitter just before 9:30 p.m. Now, that right there is something. So check this out. It says the tweet came after the evening broadcast on the Fox News of the O'Reilly Factor, which a segment in which host Bill O'Reilly explored whether how the federal government could intervene in combating violent crime by having federal authorities prosecute some cases or, right, calling in the National Guard. Now, you got to remember, for those of you who are not familiar with the layout of Chicago, you have National Guard armories there already. You know what I'm saying? You have a National Guard. You got one on Cermak Street out there, and that's like going towards the western suburbs. So you got that one. You got one where we did the where we put on the first play at by the DuSable Museum over there in Hyde Park. You got another one, and then you have Great Lakes Naval Base, which is a training facility that's going north, going towards Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken. And then you have Fort Sheridan, I think. I'm not sure if Fort Sheridan is still an active base. So you have
these are all within the city limits, Doc. These are all within Chicago city limits.
Yes. Two of them are within the city. The first two that I mentioned, the one on Cermak, that's like a stone's throw from Chicago. You got Chicago, Cicero, Berwyn, and then Riverside. I think it's in North Riverside. So it's like right there. I mean, it's down the street. You may as well say that it's a part of the city. It's less than 10
right.
minutes away from the city. Then you have the one that's actually in the city, the National Guard Armory over there in Hyde Park. That's actually in the city. And then you have Great Lakes Naval Base, which is, you know, going further. That's a little bit further away. And Fort Sheridan is a little bit further away. But trust me, they're all within 2 hours. You know what I'm saying? They're all within a small little area. You know, and plus they just built that FBI headquarters that's on Roosevelt Road. That's not, I mean, that's in Chicago. They just brand new. I mean, it's, you know, relatively new. I think it's like maybe about 7 to 10 years old. But I know when I got out of the military, they had just finished building it. So 2005, yeah, so probably about 10 years, you know, 10 years old or whatever. The point is they have the necessary infrastructure. And if you guys remember, we did a radio show back. This was the not spiritual warfare, but this was the doggone it, Freedom of Information show. That's how long ago it was. This was back in 2008 when we discussed they had these this exercise in which you had basically this joint task force where, you know, they even had some segments of Boy Scouts helping in, but mostly you had all of the different policing authorities working together in conjunction with the state troopers and National Guards. And they had a divide. They had the city divided up into four quadrants. And within these four quadrants, they had different, you know what I'm saying, different headquarters. So the game plan has already been laid out. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we really have to pay attention to this man right here. This man is a loose cannon. You know what I'm saying? This man is being allowed to do these things. I mean, he ain't even been in office a week, and he's signing in executive order after executive order after executive order after executive order. So, brothers and sisters, this is what we really need to be paying attention to. You know what I'm saying? All of these things that are going on. Now, another thing, and again, think about it. He's always talking, you know, make America great again, make America great again. Again, pay attention to that. Pay attention to that rhetoric. Pay attention to that rhetorical speech, brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? He's reestablishing the Gentile dominance. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. He's reestablishing that. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Aki. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Yeah, no, that was it pretty much. You know, we just have to keep our eyes open to what's going on. Keep our eyes open to, you know, and keep your ears peeled to and pay attention to, you know, not only, you know, what's going, you know, pay attention to these things that you hear, that you see. You know what I'm saying? And understand the times that we're in spiritually and understand that, man, hey, Yahushua said that these things are going to take place with speed, and they are taking place with speed. I mean, this is just 1 week into it. You can only imagine what 1 year into, 2 years, and 3 years, and so on and so forth will be like.
Wow. You know, we see plenty of precursors in Scripture. You know, even in history, you know, a precursor to precursors to the man of sin, you know, precursors to Yahushua, Mashiach, you know, just people who stepped in shoes and lived lives, you know, that kind of match up to what the ultimate entity would be, right? And so, you know, this man saying, let's make America great again, meant for 1,000, you know, cool points, you know, August 28th, three things happened on August 28th. You know, if you can guess it in the chat room, you can type it in, whatever the case may be, you get 1,000 cool points from your app. You know, but I'll go for them real fast. You know, saying August 28th, 2008. I'm gonna do the revert. August 28th, 2008. President Barack Obama was selected as a national Democratic representative. Basically, he was selected by the Democratic Party to run for president. August 28th, 2008. August 28th. 1965, Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech in Washington, D.C., August 28, 1965. 10 years prior to that, August 28, 1955, we see the brutal torture, murder, and execution of our brother Emmett Till. Three August 28ths, okay? This man keeps saying, let's make America great again. He's not talking about Barack Obama. You know, he's not talking about MLK. Which breaks he's talking about? Is he trying to go back to those times? To Emmett, that August 28th? that time. You know what I mean? You get what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just kind of funny how, you know, August 28th, 1955, Emmett is killed, tortured and murdered, a 14-year-old boy. August 28th, 65, MLK rocks us to sleep with the "I Have a Dream" speech. And he gives us hope of holding hands with our oppressors and singing old Negro spirituals. That's never going to happen, people. It's not going to happen. We're here to be oppressed and suffer our punishment. When our punishment is over, we shall possess those who possessed us. So we're never going to be equal, holding hands, singing Negro spirituals. It's not going to happen, okay? August 28th, 2008, the ultimate deception came into office, and you thought you were free, Israel. You thought the dream had been fulfilled. You thought you had entered the promised land, and you see that underneath this man's regime, you see more cases of Emmett Till-type murders than you would even see widespread in the media back in the 60s, okay? So deception, 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 but make America great, trust and believe. We're taking it back to August 28, 55. That's what that man's talking about. That's when America was dominant, and that's the time we were suffering harsh persecution. The times of persecution for Israel, the real persecution, is right around the corner. Get ready,
okay.
Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's another thing that I found to be particularly interesting, Aki. This was the executive order to keep out radical Islamic terrorists. It says here, President Donald Trump signed two executive actions Friday at the Department of Defense, including one, limiting the flow of refugees into the United States by instituting what the president has called extreme vetting of immigrants, titled Protection of the Nation from Foreign Terrorists Entry into the United States. The executive order would start to make good on Trump's promises to tighten the borders and halt certain refugees from entering the United States. I am establishing new vetting measures to keep radical Islamic terrorists out of the United States of America, Trump said during the signing at the Pentagon after swearing in of Defense Secretary James Mattis. So, again, you know, we're seeing aspects of what, you know, what this man is trying to do by, you know, again, closing down the borders and keeping, you know, keeping, quote unquote, America safe. But my question is, I'm not safe in this country. You know, when I walk out in the street at night, I don't feel any safer. You know, so we really have to pay, again, Israelites, we have to pay attention to, you know, the pay attention to this wording and just how and what is being said here. And again, I was listening to public radio, NPR, and they were saying that unless these people, you know, basically swear an allegiance to Mystery Babylon, they won't be able to, you know, they won't be able to enter. Now, to me, that's really interesting because I think about, you know, during the times of persecutions that are to come, of course, in that future day and time where, you know, you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without having that mark. You see, we're all, you know, a lot of Israelites are all prefixed on the physical mark, but, you know, a lot of us have taken that spiritual mark already. What do I mean when I say spiritual mark? Again, see, like when we look at this example right here, the example that was given, you know, in that radio segment of the public radio broadcast, they were saying that unless they basically swear an allegiance to Mystery Babylon, you know, and basically denounce terror and terrorist acts, if they are, you know, if they're found to be, you know, coming from some of these areas that Mystery Babylon deems, you know, unsafe or deems terrorist proving grounds or whatever, that they can't have access, that they can't get in. And again, when we look at things on the spiritual and we see that this is all just, you know, leading up to the war against the saints, when we see this and, when, you know, that's what I hear. You know, I hear, you know, like in the book of Daniel, you know, when the, you know, when the Trump, you know, they had to fall down and worship the image of the beast at, you know, at the sounding of the horns. Or I hear, you know, Revelations chapter 13, when, you know, the false prophet gives, you know, breath to the beast, and people will have to fall down and worship the image of the beast. When I hear stuff like that, you basically have to denounce these things, and, man, basically, for lack of a better word, swear an allegiance to Mystery Babylon. And that's what, you know, that's what I hear, you know, when I hear this stuff. That's what I see when I hear it, man. And it's only going to get worse. You know, it's only going to get worse, because, again, we know the time in which we're coming to. We're coming to that time of, you know, the war against the saints, and all of this is what it's leading up to. You know, like you had talked about earlier, that was another thing that he had did, you know, the growth in military spending. He also signed a second executive action on today, Friday, basically, that would spur military spending. And Trump said, begin the great rebuilding of the armed services of the United States. You know, and then when you look and see who this man is putting in his cabinet, you know what I'm saying? His cabinet is full of prior service military, former generals, you know what I'm saying? Former commanders and businessmen. You know what I'm saying? So he's going to be about that business, and he's going to be about the business of war, you know? And it said, let me just finish reading this little paragraph here. It says, the president added that the executive action instructs Mattis again to begin developing a plan for new planes, new ships, new resources, and new tools for our men and women in uniform. So again, new ships, new planes, new resources for, and I'm going to, this is me adding this in, for new wars. That's what that's all about. Why else would you be spending all this money on the military unless you plan to use that military? Again, he is a businessman, and a businessman is going to make shrewd business decisions. And he wouldn't make no business decisions that would, you know what I'm saying, that's not going to generate any profit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's one thing. I think I talked about this on the show back when it first was happening. But as you know, Park with Doc, the newest member, the newest warship of the Navy, the USS Detroit, you know, which is capable of having, you know, military helicopters on it, as well as being small enough to, you know, float through rivers and channels, you know. And so it's, you can go through the Great Lakes with it, through rivers, you know. I think you mentioned something about going all the way down through the Mississippi, you know, something to that effect, man. Like, this ship is capable of doing it. With, yeah, and the cannons was on it, with the guns, with cannons, all that stuff on it. Just a nice, sleek, small ship that can really do a lot of damage and go to war. Why do you need that for foreign countries? You don't. That's for base.
That's
for
Chicago.
The Ohio River. That's for Chicago. That's for Lake Michigan. That's for the Ohio River. That's for the Mississippi River. That's for, you know, these lakes and rivers and streams and that go through the United States. Then you start acting a fool, you know what I mean? They can come and bring those choppers right to you. As a matter of fact, you was talking about the exercise in Chicago. I believe that's the one they had the Apaches doing exercises, hanging up over, you know, through the downtown skyline. They were doing maneuvers through the buildings and all sorts of things during that same exercise in Chicago. So, I mean, this is no joke, man. Like, when you got the right guy in office to put that stuff in place. Like I said, we got precursors. You know, Obama signed a bunch of executive orders that allow for this type of stuff, you know, and we got the right person to execute, right? So, you know, you know, in scripture, you know, we have Pharaoh who allowed, you know, Joseph to come in and be raised up, and he executed what needed to be done to save the people of the land. You know, so he just put everything into action, put the plan into action. You know what I mean? But Pharaoh gave him the power to do it. So Pharaoh just gave the power over to Donald Trump to
to do everything he needed to do. They talk that talk, probably don't like each other, and, you know, you guys' nose turned up at the inauguration, stuff like that, man. But these are two teams from the same pod. Don't be fooled. You know, I mean, it is what it is, man. So, you know, all the executive orders that Obama put in place, it wasn't even for his time, you know. This stuff is about to start happening with this new administration, you know. We definitely some interesting times, man. Interesting times for sure.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm really glad that you brought that up, Ak, about, you know, them being the two wings of the same eagle, man. And I think that's even quote-unquote knowledgeable Israelites, we lose sight of that, man. You know what I'm saying? Because some of us still have, you know what I'm saying, those feelings, you know what I'm saying, those worldly feelings to where, you know, someone who looks like us is in a position of prominence. You know, we tend to, you know, stick our chest out a little bit, you know, a little bit wider or whatnot. But again, just like the Oxad family, they're two wings of the same eagle. You know what I'm saying? They're all about the same agenda. You know, they're all pushing towards the same goal, and it's the ushering in of their Messiah. You know what I'm saying? Who is the anti-Messiah. And what's interesting about that is, in all that he's doing, like, he withdrew from the, Trans-Pacific, let me see here, Where is it at? He withdrew from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, what the Trans-Pacific Partnership was is, you know, this was like during the Obama administration, it was like considered like the crown jewel of, you know, international policy, you know, trade policy or whatever. And, you know, again, when Trump, when he was on his campaign trail, you know, he regularly knocked it. You know, talking about how bad of an idea it was. And, you know, even when, like, it didn't even seem like he pretty much knew what was going on with it, but, you know, he just, you know, it was just something, it was a sounding board for him to, you know, pitch his anti-Obama angst or whatever. But, you know, what he did was, and actually, you know, taking that, repealing that and taking that off the board, you know, and don't be surprised if he, you know, if there's a reworking of NAFTA, which is the North American, free trade, something like that. NAFTA, I can't think of exactly what the acronym stands for. But
North American Free Trade Agreement.
There we go, Free Trade Agreement. Okay. I knew it was an association. Okay, yeah, I knew it was an association, but I couldn't, again, you know what I'm saying? It's just this arrogance of Mystery Babylon. But when we look at it from a scriptural standpoint, I'd like to just shed just a little bit of light here on it. I'm going to read from the book of Yoel, and I'd like to read the third chapter of Yoel, and I'm going to just read 9 through 11, and let's put some context into this, you know. This is, let's see here, it says, "Proclaim this amongst the nations, prepare for battle. Wake up, mighty men, let all the men of battle draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Hasten and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. O Yah, let your mighty men come down here." So again, brothers and sisters, this is what we're going towards here. You have these small nations such as, hey, Mexico in this instance with the wall, you know, the building up of the wall, all of this anti-Babylon buildup is coming because, of course, we know that she has to be destroyed. So what's going to kindle that fire? What's going to start that fire? Again, this man right here, we're seeing all of these things that's being done by him. I mean, and this is just week one of the presidency. Imagine what year three is going to look like, you know? So again, I just wanted to read that. And as it relates to us in these latter days and times, again, when, you know, by the time you get to the book of Revelations, and in Revelations chapter 20, you know, we see that Mystery Babylon is destroyed, again, by those 10 kingdoms. You know, those 10 kingdoms are going to be put into, you know, put into, basically put into power by the club of Rome. You know, the Club of Rome is this group, this think tank. Again, you know, they're all concerned with the environment. They're concerned with all of the socio-economical things that are going on in the world and all of this stuff. But these are the same people who have been inspired by the fallen angels to create all of this chaos so that they can give you their order. See, this is what we're talking about when we, you know, when we say order out of the chaos, we see exactly what we see it exactly for what it is. We're not talking about some esoteric teaching or some crap like that. No, they're giving you the chaos, and then they're going to institute their one world order. They're trying to bring back that time, you know, with, you know, at, you know, it, like the Aqua Sand with the precursors, you know, you see Nimrod, who was the first to be worshipped as a god king, the man of sin, he's going to be worshipped as a god king. You know, and you had all types of precursors from throughout, you know, throughout the ages, you know, like Antiochus Epiphany, you know what I'm saying, like Alexander, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar, all of these men, all of these, you know, all of these wicked rulers during their times, they all had different attributes and different traits of the man of sin. And again, we're seeing that again here in these days and times as we draw closer to it. So by the time you get to, again, like I said, Revelations, you know, Revelations chapter 20, you know, those 10 kingdoms, you know, they come into prominence, they come into power. All of this anti-Babylon hatred is built up. It's nothing for, you know, these countries to unite and destroy that whore in 1 hour. Don't forget about North Korea. You know what I'm saying? Again, it was North Korea she said that North Korea vowed to engulf the United States in fire. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, that was what the North Korean leader said. I mean, let's not forget this stuff, family. Just because it's not in the news now, don't mean that it ain't happened, or don't mean that it's not in the workings. You know, look at it. Remember the Arab Spring. You know what I'm saying? All of that instability that was started over there in the Middle East, that was instigated and propagated by Mystery Babylon, along with Jewish Mossad. You know what I'm saying? Along with other various agencies, you know what I'm saying, spurred on by such groups like the Council on Foreign Relations, you know, such groups as the Club of Rome, you know what I'm saying, all of these different groups, you know, the IMF, you know, the International Monetary Fund, you know what I'm saying, all of these different things, the United Nations, all of these, you see, that's the bigger picture, brothers and sisters. That's what we have to look at, how this affects the entirety of mankind, because Satan hates us all. He'll try to divide us, yeah, true indeed, but he hates us all.
Can. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Powerful words there,
yeah. You
know.
Hey, hallelujah.
So, I mean, honestly, going back to Israel, you know, what are we to do, you know, as Israelites? Well, we see these things happening. I mean, I'm going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 2. First of all, then I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings, and all those who are in authority, in order that we lead a calm and peaceable life in all reverence and seriousness. So, you know, just going back to my earlier point, you know, these people are put in place, you know, for a reason, right? But you mentioned the allegiance earlier, in allegiance to Babylon. We made our allegiance to the Almighty Yah. And so with that allegiance, you know, as long as we're keeping his law, statutes, and commandments, we are underneath his protection, right? So we have no need to fear. You know, we just sit back and we observe what's happening. We watch, we pray. We pray for the protection of our people. We pray that our people are in order and are following his laws, the elect. We pray for the continued awakening of Israel. And we sit in anticipation, you know, and expectation, again, waiting for the final deliverance of Israel, you know. Trump is saying, hey, he's basically saying this article on CNBC, White House spokesman says Trump seeks 20% tax on Mexican imports to pay for the wall. I mean, he's already said anything that comes through here, he's just going to be taxing it. So he's saying, hey, 20% tax for anything that comes out of Mexico. Yeah. I don't even know what comes over from Mexico outside of, you know, Coronas. You know what I mean? I don't even know what we get over here besides, in Mexico, from Mexico. But that's what he's saying. So basically the article says, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer clarified earlier remarks he made on Thursday about the Trump administration's position on possible 20% border tax, which received widespread attention in the wake of a dispute between President Donald Trump and Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto over plans to construct a border wall between the two countries. After Spicer floated the idea of a tax to pay for the border wall, he pulled several reporters aside to clarify the administration's position in an impromptu meeting in his office. Spicer said that his earlier comments aboard Air Force One were not meant to be a specific rollout of a new proposal. I just want to be clear. We are not being prescriptive and saying this is the only way, nor is the right perspective, Spicer said. There are several ways this could happen. So basically he made the announcement that, hey, we're thinking about doing this, and then he pulled some people to the side and said, hey, listen, we may or may not do that. You know, don't go taking all this, you know, back to your media outlets and whatnot. We may think of some other ways to get this done, so on and so forth. So, I mean, he's just covering his bases. But basically Trump has already said on the campaign trail that he's just going to tax the hell out of anything, you know, that comes into the United States. So you Ford Motor Company, you can't move your factory to Mexico. You can't do it because you're going to put such a tax on anything that comes in here that you built, people aren't going to buy it. You know, that's how you stop the jobs from leaving at that airplane manufacturer. I forget the name of it. It slips me right now, in Indiana. And that's how you stop the building of the Ford plant down in Mexico. So they're saying that he potentially has saved 1.2 million jobs already just by making those threats, right? And so, you know, you best believe he's going to make good on those threats. If he's proposing a 20% tax on imports from Mexico in order to pay for the wall while simultaneously building up the army and building up army surplus, building up weapons of war, he plans on using all the aforementioned to enforce his policies and proposals. You either get down or you lay down, to quote my man Beanie Siegel from that movie. You know what I mean? That's it. You
State
know?
Property.
That's,
okay. Yeah, I got
State
you.
Property.
I mean,
that's how you're coming. That's how you're coming.
Mm-hmm. Now, while you were mentioning that, Aki, I was scrambling trying to find the article, and then I just posted it in the chat room, and it says right here, because I noticed some of the fam in the chat room, you had mentioned Corona, somebody had mentioned Patron, and you know what I'm saying? But actually, man, when you look at it,
hey, just forget about the Patron, Don Julio, Patron, Corona, who else we got from Mexico, man? That's about it, man. Those Equis, you know, that's all I know to come from Mexico, man.
But no, it's like this article, man, it says, what does the U.S. import from Mexico? And it says a whole lot. It says the Trump administration proposed to impose a 20% tariff on goods from Mexico as well as other countries. That would hit Americans hard. That's because Mexico is the third largest exporter of goods to the United States behind Canada and China. Now, again, remember, let me preface this with some scripture, right? Let's go to, let me see here. Where is it at? Revelation chapter, I want to say it's chapter 18. Cain, let me get there real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this right here, man, like who else this money for, you know, who else pays, you know, all of this money for a flat screen TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me read this. Revelation chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. It says here, and after this, I saw another Melakim coming down from the Shemaim, having great authority. And the earth was lightened from his esteem, and he cried out with a mighty voice, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean and hated bird, right? because all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her whoring, and the sovereigns or the rulers of the earth have committed whoring with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the power of her riotous living. So now it makes sense why, you know, Mystery Babylon imports more than she exports, right? Because, again, when we look at that seven-headed beast, the educational system is one of the beasts, and we've been dumbed down since, man, since we got over here, shoot, as Israelites, okay, since we've been here. You know what I'm saying? But now it's starting to, you know, it's starting to encompass the entirety of this nation. You know what I'm saying? It's the running joke now. It's a gag line how ignorant and just how ill-informed your average everyday Joe is. This is why the man who is sitting in office right now, they say he speaks to the people. He is a man of the people. That nigga been rich his whole life. He don't know nothing about my struggles. Mm-hmm. But because he, you know, he says what, you know, what the majority of the Gentiles are thinking anyway, you know, this is how he won the electoral vote. But anyway, I digress. It says here in verse 5, because her sins have piled up and reached the Shemaim, and Yah has remembered her unrighteousness. Render to her as she indeed did render, and repay her double according to her works, and the cup in which she has mixed for her double, as much as she has esteemed herself, make America great again, and lived riotously. Mm-hmm. So much torture and grief give to her, because in her heart she says, I sit as a sovereigness, and I am not a widow, and I do not see mourning at all. Because of this, her plagues shall come in one day, death and mourning and scarcity of food, and she shall be burned up with fire, because Yah, your power, or Yah Almighty, who judges her, is mighty. Now, again, as we get back to this article right here, brothers and sisters, we see, you know, how Mexico is the third largest importer, you know what I'm saying, to Mystery Babylon behind Canada and China. It says in 2015, the U.S. imported $295 billion, with a B, worth of products from Mexico, according to the government trade data. The top category was cars and auto parts. Yeah, all that made in America. Yeah, but your brake lines are made in China. So how they talk about how Chevy and all of that stuff is made in America and woo-wop the bam and all of that. Yeah, but your fuel lines are made in China. Your brake lines are made in China. Your steering columns are made in Mexico and all of that stuff. Because
That's the stuff that gets replaced a lot, too, Aki. That's the general maintenance stuff. That's how they keep making the money off those vehicles. So you bought a car one time, but that general maintenance, they get rich off that. You're there all the time replacing brake lines and fuel filters, all sorts of stuff like that.
You already know, off the rip.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that is what Mexico makes the most money off of with imports to the United States, a $74 billion, again, with the B, on vehicles. You know, so though, like you said, those are replacement parts and so on and so forth. Electrical machinery, $63 billion with a B. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
General machinery, $49 billion with a B. Agricultural products, $21 billion with a B. Mineral fuels, i.e. oil, $14 billion with a B. Optical and medical instruments, $12 billion with a B. And we ain't even talking about the cheap knockoff prescription medication that comes from there.
Oh, right. Okay. And Canada, too. I'm right across the border from Canada.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that leave Michigan and go get that stuff, man. Can't afford it over here.
Yep. You already know. Yep.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to just take it right over to verse 15, like he's saying, chapter, Revelation 18, verse 15. You know, the merchants of these, those who became rich by her, shall stand at a distance with fear of her torture, weeping and mourning, and saying, woe, woe, the great city that was dressed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great riches was laid waste, and every shipmaster, and every passenger, and sailors, and as many as work the sea for their living, stood at a distance, and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? and they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and mourning and saying, woe, woe, the great city, and all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she was laid waste. That's the equivalent of Don Bishop Juan saying, whoa, whoa, my top hoe just got cut up and slashed in her face. She's done. She can't make no more money for me. These other nations are pimping in the United States. She's a whore. That's all it is, spiritually and on the physical. So when she's burnt up, when she's done, when she's decimated, yo, they're going to cry out. They're missing out on that coin, you know? Okay. And so Yah says he does it, verse 24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and set apart ones and of all who were slain on the earth. Man, yeah, you can't get away with August 28th, 1955. You got to answer for our brother's blood. August 28th, 1955. What you did to our brother Emmett, you're going to answer for that. You're going to answer for what you did to Megar Evers. You're going to answer what you did to all the brothers and sisters who were executed, right, in the middle of this filthy, disgusting debauchery of a land. You have to answer for that, right? So don't cry for her, right? Pray that you deliver you in the wilderness and you watch it happen. Don't cry for her. Don't cry for whatever happened to Mexico. Whatever Trump decided to do to Mexico, don't cry for them, because they're treating your brothers and sisters on the east coast of Mexico, what they call Afro-Mexicans, with the big puffy curly froze and the dark skin, treating them like trash, okay? Living in tanty houses and little tin houses and scanty cities and so on and so forth, treating them like garbage, like subhumans, right? So don't cry for them either. Whatever Trump does to them, Yah is allowing it to happen. So don't worry about them. Don't worry about what's happening to your oppressors. Okay, Yah is going to use them to do just exactly what he wants them to do. He's going to use that man to do exactly what he wants to happen. I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 6. Scroll of Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 6. I'll read from the KJV. And now, have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant? And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And now, have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant? And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. More precursors. Like you mentioned earlier, King Nimrod, the first man to be worshipped as a god on earth, you know, that crown has been passed on. Now we're in spiritual Babylon, and that crown's been passed on down to now Donald J. Trump. If he starts executing judgment on Mexico, on all these other countries where your brothers and sisters are held captive and are treated lower than dirt, if he goes after ISIS and he starts hitting up Iraq and your brothers and sisters in Basra are still slaves, right? Don't cry for them. Don't worry about them. Because Yah has given these lands over to his servant to execute judgment, period. Praise Yah.
Okay, hallelujah. Excellent words, Aki. I think we got our first caller here for tonight. This is Aki Creedell up there in the 313. Let's go ahead and bring Aki to the convo tonight. Hey, Shabbat Shalom, big homie. What's going on?
Shabbat Shalom. Aki Boaz, Aki Moshe. How y'all be?
Hey, Shabbat Shalom. What up, though? What's the deal, Aki?
I checked out something on the cultural aspect of what's going on right now, because it's getting more and more wicked. Okay, Instagram started this thing called Live, right? And it's just really wild. So it's like it's worse than Facebook Live, because everybody knows, like, you know, the streets. Everybody know how Facebook is a database. You know, they know that much. You know, you can't even delete stuff. They give you a hard time, you know. So with this Instagram Live, it's like so lustful. Like earlier in the prayer room, like if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, you know how you guys are talking about this whole Instagram thing, like, ooh, look at me, like with the pictures and everything like that. the majority of the models on Instagram are like either dancers or whatever like that. I'm just saying in Detroit because I'm about to get to this point. I'm gonna strike it hard. And so basically, you know, they sit there, they show you the dark side of you know, Detroit, where you got all these different strip clubs and stuff, and they in the locker room getting dressed, that type of stuff. Okay, you know, you're gonna see some fights, you know. But now it's this guy. I don't want to say his name or whatever, but he got this award or whatever, right? It's this dumb award, like when you get a Draco and some Cartier buffs or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So what he do, he instigates fights and stuff like that. Like, you know how people talk crazy in the comments. You know that happens all over social media. But since you have Instagram Live now, like, you can actually meet up with people across the city. Like, well, Negro, you know, meet me here or whatever like that, right? So, like, people's houses got shot up. And, like, the purpose of the award is for somebody to die on live. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the wildest I've seen, it was one night. It just was like all hell was breaking loose. It was like, I'm wondering, like, what is everybody talking about? Like, what's going on live? So I guess these two stripper girls are fighting or whatever. And after that, you know, the guy that recorded the fight. Now, listen, this is the cultural aspect. This is what I'm giving y'all. The guy that, you know, that was recording the fight, laughing about it, you know what I'm saying, or whatever like that, that made it go viral. The brother was like fight 101. So it's a liquor store that this guy be at or whatever. He, you know, had it on live, shot in the air one time, like, I'm right here, I'm out here, blah, blah, blah. But when I say half the city from the east side to west side all pulled up to that store trying to find each other, I'm talking about people that's ops. You know, that's the slang word for, like, you know what I'm saying, your enemy. They up there, they just waiting to see this fight. And there's so many guns, you know what I'm saying, whatever, whatever, like that. And I remind you, this is live. So they finally pull off or whatever, but they still live. And they're like, we on his block. And they see all these, like, you can just hear the commentary, like, yo, what's all them cars flying up to the store? They found out it was the police, you know what I'm saying, like, duh. But anyway, they start having sex on live, all this different type of stuff. Just to get a following and to get likes. So I'm just saying, like, I'm just witnessing on a cultural aspect how wicked, you know what I'm saying, Mystery Babylon has become. And, like, it's just very profound how it captivated the city. You know, it's like, it's so addictive for these guys just to be on there to show every aspect of their life. And it's like high school, grown-ups acting like high schoolers. It's just unbelievable. So I wanted to let y'all know about that. Don't forget that name, Instagram Live. That's going to change the whole game. That part right there, that Instagram Live, is real loose. And, like, you just blatantly, a guy came up with it. Like, the object of it is, like, to see somebody down live. It'll remind you of, like, the Hunger Games. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, the movie I just saw over there in the UK called Traitors. You know, it's just like, you know, they make these movies, and it's crazy how, like, normal people come up with these ideas when they give us the tools. So I really just like Shabbat Shalom.
Man, I'm trying to get that now. They over there murking niggas and stuff on live. I don't want no parts of that, man. Witnessing murder or whatnot. That's crazy as hell. You know what I'm saying? I'm straight, man. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, with the Oscar saying, man, that's something that I've noticed. I haven't been on Facebook in going on 5 years. I shut down my page. And, you know, last week I logged on for like all of 30 seconds. I'm like, well, let me just log on. Let me see, you know, family, friends, or whatever the case may be. I saw, when I logged on, just for that little bit of 30 seconds, I saw so much foddery. I just made that word up. I just saw so much foddery, so much nigganomics. And so I just said, you know what? I'm glad I left. I can't do it. I just don't have the patience or the mindset for it, man. And I don't understand why people are just, there's just people out there who just like putting themselves out there to get a following, get a following, get a following. You know what I mean? And it just really goes back to, you know, what scripture says. I mean, I just read it, verse 16, and saying, "Woe, woe, the great city that was dressed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls." Yah didn't give her those pearls and stones. She's not the priest of Ahab. No, she's not Aharon or the high priest, and Yah just decked them all out. You know what I mean? you know, she's not a king of Israel, the righteous ruling house that's supposed to be ruling the world, and Yah just decked them all out like he did Shlomo. Pearls, these jewels. Those are stones, our pearls, our jewels that she robbed from us, right? And she adorned herself with it, you know? And she's trying to get a following. That same spirit is, it's like, just captivating our people. We just want to be seen, be heard, you know, on Instagram, whatever the case may be, Facebook, booty shots, fighting, you know, saying, and a whole bunch of niggardry, man. You know what I mean? So it's really, that stuff is put in place to keep us asleep, man, to keep us from watching what's really going on, like the stuff we're discussing right here tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you look in Scripture, it tells us the times that we're in, we should see this for what it is and, you know, thank Yah that we have the eyes to see. It says, know this, that in the last days hard times shall come. You know, for any person who is really striving to do what is right in the eyesight of the Father, Yah, these are hard times to see. It's hard to see, you know, people who you love because you love your people. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to see your people doing things out of sheer ignorance or, you know what I'm saying, just the unwillingness to, you know, to do right. You know, it says, men shall become lovers of self, lovers of money or notoriety, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankless, wrongdoers, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, haters of good, betrayers, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of Yah. So that's, I mean, we're seeing this in this time now, brothers and sisters. And, you know, it's hard for someone who is striving to do righteousness, you know, to see, to look out in the world and to see those in whom you love, you know, just willfully turn a blind eye to life. You know what I'm saying? It's really sad, man. But unfortunately, this has to happen because Yah is only going to work with the remnant of the nation of Yisrael because of that simple fact, because most of us aren't going to adhere to his truth. Most of us aren't going to listen, you know, and I'm still tripping because you said lottery. I was like, wait a minute, did he say lottery? Like, I can't hear. No, but,
make up words for these niggas sometimes, man. It's just so, they're just such coons. You just got to make up words for them sometimes, man, to match what the hell they're doing. Real talk.
Yeah, man. And, you know, like what the Ock was talking about with the whole live aspect of it, you know, again, precursors, when you go back and you look during the times of the Maccabean revolt, during the Maccabean wars, you know what I'm saying? Antiochus Epiphany, he put overseers, you know, out there on the streets to watch you. So though they didn't have Facebook Live or Instagram Live, you had somebody out there literally watching you. You know what I'm saying? Watching your moves to make sure that you were, you know, doing what the masters of the time wanted you to do. And so this is no different, you know what I'm saying, with these, you know, with the whole Facebook Live and, you know, Instagram Live and all of that stuff. It's done so that, you know, your masters can still keep tabs on you and keep eyes on you, man. You know, so, but I mean, what's sad is that these things, these venues or these platforms can be used for righteousness. Imagine if we were Facebooking live right now, the radio show, you know what I'm saying? Or imagine if we could Facebook live or Instagram live or whatever, the lessons, you know, but as a nation, we can't even do that because as a nation, we just as well tear each other down. You know what I'm saying? With all of these scandals and things like that. So, you know, it's really sad, man. But, you know, I say hallelujah because it's the will of Yah that's being done. Like you said, all of these things are the will and the desire of Yah to see who's truly seeking his face. You know what I'm saying? To see who's truly striving for perfection. So I say, man, it is what it is because, you know, man, in these last days and times, we see what's, I mean, we can sit here and recite Bible verses all night. We know what's going on, but the question is, are we going to act like we know what's going on? And that's where we at really right now, fam. We got to act like we know what the heck is going on, man. You know, we got to choose life over death. You know, we have to choose righteousness over wickedness. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to say what someone doesn't do, but it's hard to help that person do what you know and they know they need to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we love to take the easier path other than, you know what I'm saying, take the hard path, you know, the path of righteousness, you know. But Yah says in Scripture that these laws aren't hard. You know, we've made them hard because of the thickness of our skulls and the hardness of our hearts, man. And, you know, we're playing right along into Satan's little game. You know, when you really get down to it and you look at it from the spiritual, you know, from the spiritual standpoint, you know. And since we're talking about, I like that now, I'm going to start using this word, Ox. Since we're talking about thought-ery, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Don't forget
there's another thing that But another interesting thing was that they're going to do random drug screenings for you know, people who are on public assistance, you know, i.e. food stamps and things like that. You know what I'm saying? Random drug screenings. Because, again, when you listen to the tone that the Gentile is taking, you know, they don't want the free health care. You know, they don't want the, all of the governmental assistance programs. They claim that that's taking money out of their pocket when, you know, a lesser known fact is there are more Gentiles on public assistance than Israelites. But
that's true.
Israelites have received, we have received that stigma. You know what I'm saying? That you know, you have generations of, you know, of Israelites, you know, being on public assistance and whatever. And I mean, you do have, you know, Brews who are on public assistance or whatever, because I mean, hell, we're here under the curses. You know what I'm saying? We're here in the captivity. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, we do have people who are in need of, you know, government assistance, but that's where we, you know, who are the children of the light, that's where we come in. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I use this example all the time, man. For a person who doesn't have a criminal background or who doesn't have a criminal record, it's hard for me as an Israelite man to make it in this world. How much harder is it for my brother who, you know, who may still be in the curses? So that's where we come in. We have to develop that community mindset to where we can start to help and to grow businesses and to help, you know, and to grow communities and things like that. So we can, you know, reach back and help that brother and or sister who is still stuck and help them, you know, because I hate when people say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Not when I ain't got no damn boots on. How am I pull myself by my bootstraps and I ain't got no boots? You know what I'm saying? We've been barefoot, you know, in tattered clothes. You know what I'm saying? So stop telling me, stop giving me these goofy Gentile sayings, man. That like that. Ooh, that makes me mad, man. You know. But again, that's taking that spiritual mark. You know what I'm saying? Because somehow you think you a part of this system just because, you know, like Chicken George, you can walk around with a little, you know, you can sit next to your master. You somehow liking yourself to your oppressor, but man, you are still the oppressed. You know what I'm saying? As long as you aren't here in this captivity, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That was good.
You take on that Chicken George mentality like you were saying, man. I mean, I liken that to Bubbles, man. You remember Bubbles the monkey and Mike Jackson used to dress him up in clothes? And so, you know what I'm saying? He's still a monkey. But, like, you know, Mike is, like, telling me, you know what I'm saying, rocking the, you know, the silver socks and the studded gloves like him. But it's Bubbles the monkey.
Right.
He's still a monkey. You know what I mean? But, like, he's Bubbles is Mike's pet. You know? I don't know what Mike's infatuation with Bubbles. But, I mean, he liked Bubbles, you know? And so, like, Chicken George, you know, you liking yourself to, you know, the master, you just Bubbles. You're a monkey in clothes. But you're still a monkey, you know? So, you know, they have a huge head start on us economically. First off, the head start that they have, it's us, like, pushing them down the field, basically, because we built the country and built the economic structure for this company, for this country, you know? And
right.
So you have this head start off of our free labor, you know? If you take two lions, one was raised in Barman Bailey's circus. He gonna roll over, do tricks for you, you know what I mean? And he depends on you for his very sustenance. You can open up his mouth and put your head in his mouth, he won't bite you, right? He doesn't really know what he is or who he is or the power that he has. You can't take
right.
a lion out of Africa and open up his mouth and put your head in it. He's going to take your head off your shoulders because he knows who he is. You know, so he can fight and take what he needs. Israel, your heritage has been taken away from you. You don't know who you are or the power you possess, the wisdom that you used to have, the smarts you used to have, the ingenuity, right? Them brothers and sisters, even as far back as we went into Africa, man, we still had big pieces of our heritage back then, and it's noted that those who came out from the east, that was us, running from the Romans, and we went westward, they came in knowing engineering, knowing masonry, knowing all these different functions that would, you know, help us through society and whatnot. They were very educated. Like, we were some really smart people. We weren't just like physically strong and eating a bunch of lamb all day. I mean, no, we were like a very, very smart people, too smart for our own good. We got away from our true wisdom. You know, that spirit that was on our father Shlomo, it really went on all the nation. We got away from our true wisdom and sought after what was right in our own hearts, and we broke God's laws. You know what I mean? We don't know who we are, so it's hard for us to get over here and compete for economic resources. We don't know who the hell we are. We are that lion that's in Barnum & Bailey. We depend on the master to throw us a steak every once in a while, and we depend on him for our sustenance. We don't know how to hunt and go get it ourselves because Yah took that part away from us. Yah said his word in Deuteronomy that I am the one who gives you the power to get wealth. You know, but underneath these curses, he's not giving us nothing, you know. So there you go. So you could toot your horn right now, you know, Mr. Oppressor, you know saying, Mr. Johnny Gentile, so on and so forth. But, oh, when these curses come to an end, it's almost over. When it's over, you will never have it back again. It's a wrap for you. It's done. Never will you have that rulership back again. You'll never have your foot on our necks again. Ever. It's over. So please, go ahead and enjoy it right now. Go ahead and enjoy it right now. It's wrapping up right now. It's over. You can see signs of it being over with right now. Walk into any, start talking to some millennials, some Gentile millennials. Just have a conversation with them. And you'll see, like, what I'm talking about. The mental capacity is not there anymore. You know, you'll start seeing, you'll see exactly like, oh, it's almost done for them. Yeah, it's almost done for them. It's just look and see what's happening around you. Look what's going on with your, they're breaking apart. You know, the left is fighting against the right. You know, they're not green. They're divided right now. They're about to fall apart. Just pay attention. The time of the Gentiles is coming to a close quickly.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Ak. And on the flip side of that, as we come together as a nation, that's exactly what has to happen. We have to come together in the spirit of the truth, brothers and sisters. And that's the only way that there can be unification of the nation of Israel, is if we're united in the truth. You know, I don't want to unite with someone who doesn't share the same beliefs as I, you know, because we're not united. You know, that's not a true union. You know what I'm saying? And like the Aqua saying, as we, you know, come to the conclusion of the times of the Gentiles, you know, who are being obedient to the Master, being obedient to the Father Yah, you know, we cease to be cursed. And so as long as we're obedient, you know, the curse has no effect on us. Always understanding, brothers and sisters, that the curse will always be there, so as long as the children of Israel are being disobedient, you know. But once we come back into the ways, and once we come back into the truth of the Almighty Yah, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, we become blessed. and we become that blessing to the children of Israel, and then we become that blessing to the world, man. So let us have that blessed mentality. Let us have that. Let us have that. Let us be a blessing. You know, that's why I always say, you know, in the, you know, in our prayer rooms, be a blessing to someone today. You know what I'm saying? Be a blessing to someone. Be, you know, be, you know, you never know. Someone may just needed to hear your words, or someone may just needed to hear, you know what I'm saying, hear a kind word, man. They may have been contemplating suicide or something like that, but you come up to them and you give them Yah's Ruach, and hey, hallelujah, they have a little bit of strength to carry on. These are the things that we need to be concerning ourselves with, brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying, as we come together. You know, Yah took our heritage from us, but praise be to Yah, because of our obedience, Yah gives it back to us. We know who we are. You know what I'm saying? We know that we're the children of Yisrael. Yah has revealed to some of us our tribal designation. You know what I'm saying? And Yah is going to continue to give us greater and greater understanding, but we have to show ourselves worthy of it. And it starts with coming out of the Babylonian mindset, family. You know, that's where it all starts. It starts with that. You come out of that Babylonian mindset, you come back into the Eastern man, you know what I'm saying, the true East man. I ain't talking about, you know, Fu Manchu, what was his name, Kane, oh boy, David Carradine walking around. I'm not talking about that East man. I'm talking about the real East man, you know what I'm saying, the Israelite man, you know, that mighty and righteous nation, brothers and sisters. That's what we are, and that's what we need to come back to. Let us be the light to the world, man. So we got about 8 minutes left, Hawk. I see we have another caller right here in queue. I don't know if the caller wants to chit chat or not. Hey, Aki Tashaya, is that caller just he just got his hand up, or does that caller wanna come on the air? You know what? Put him on the air anyway. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. I'm gonna open up the mic. This is area code 270. Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, my king. Y'all know who it is. Y'all know who it be. Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
What up?
Y'all bless.
No, I don't know who it is. Who is it?
Uh-huh. I was like, is that it? I was like,
Oh, what up, Ak? Shabbat Shalom.
Come on, Ak. Say something else, man. You can't just say that and then not say nothing else.
Yeah, but I mean, you mostly you ate the words after Boaz had his spill. You pretty well said what I was gonna say. You know what I mean? Because you know we can this curse can end and you know 2 more years, and that still don't mean a thing because we as a nation are still at each other's throat. But let me just read this. You know what I mean? And let me just read this. It says. This, I'm coming out of the book of Acts, chapter 13. I'm going to read 41 to the end. See, you despisers marvel and perish for a work in your days, which you will in no way believe in someone where to declare it to you. And when the Hebrews went out of the congregation, the Gentiles begged to have these words spoken to them the next Shabbat, and when the meeting of the congregation had broken up, many of the Hebrews, and of the worshiping converts, followed Shaul and Barnabas, who speaking to them were urging them to continue in the favor of Yah. And on the next Shabbat, almost all the city came together to hear the words of Yah. But when the Hebrews saw crowds, they were filled with jealousy and contradicting and speaking evil. They opposed Shaul and saying, speaking boldly, Shaul and Barnabas said, it was necessary that the word of Yah should be spoken to you first. But since you thrust it away and judge yourselves unworthily of everlasting life, see, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the master has commanded us. I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for deliverance to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and praise the word of Yah. And as many as had been appointed to everlasting life believed, and the word of Yah was being spread throughout the entire country. But the Hebrews stirred up the worshiping and noble women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Shaul and Barnabas and threw them out of the borders. I'm going to cut right there because it's still going to be niggas. You know what I mean? It's still going to be niggas. No matter how quick this time ends, hey, it's still going to be niggas right amongst us. And I do mean to say niggas, because if we can't get along, people who's bringing this truth now, it's still going to be that right in the midst of Israel. Who knows? It may be more Gentiles than Hebrews. You know what I mean? Because they outnumber us now, as far as I know. You know what I mean? Well, I'm just talking about specifically in the state. Until we learn to come together, until we learn to humble ourselves, until we learn to humble ourselves and be able to accept it, the man of Yah, as when they bring this truth, sit back and pay attention, there's still going to be niggas right amongst us. We must humble ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Good words, huh? Yeah, good words, man. And I mean, that's what it is. You know, it's always gonna be like that. You're always gonna have that element of wicked Israel, you know, and that's why, man, you know, at the end of the day, hey, you know, judge me by my works. You can say whatever you want about me, you know what I'm saying? But let the works speak. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is that we do, let us do it wholeheartedly, and let us do it in the name of the Master Yehoshua. That's the most important thing, man. Because, you know, like the Ark read, and a scripture bear witness. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all matters be established. It's going to be rebels in the wilderness. You know what I'm saying? And Yah going to bring them there, as he says, to contend with them face to face. So, hey, man, hey, hallelujah. It is, man.
Absolutely. And you know what? Just sticking with the subject about these leaders and whatnot, the Trump card, so on and so forth. I'm going to read a couple of scripts before we close out. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Let every being be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from Yah, and the authorities that exist are appointed by Yah. So he who opposes the authority withstands the institution of Yah. And those who withstand shall bring judgment on themselves. For those ruling are an object of fear, not to good works, but to evil. Do you wish to be not afraid of the authority? Do the good, and you shall have praise from it, the authority. For it is a servant of Yah to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword in vain, for it is a servant of Yah, a revenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So absolutely, wicked Israelites going to get killed off, you know what I mean? Those who are bucking against Yah's authority, getting killed off, absolutely. And that scripture right there didn't discriminate. That's Greek, Gentile, that's Roman, that's Hebrew, so on and so forth, you know what I mean? So you, Israel, you make sure you obey Yah's laws and statutes. For the Torah, Yah's right ruling, was given to you, Israel, first and foremost. You are above and not beneath, okay? And you keep these laws, these statutes, these commandments, and this is the promise that Yah gives you. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 1 through 2. Because Yah has compassion on Yaakov, and shall again choose Yisrael, and shall again choose Yisrael, and give them rest in their own land, and the strangers shall join them, and they shall cling to the house of Yaakov, and people shall take them and bring them to their own place, and the house of Yisrael shall possess them for servants and female servants in the land of Yah, and they shall make captives of their captors and rule over their oppressors. By Hashem, Mashiach, Yehoshua, you will rule the world, Israel. Keep hold to the covenant, keep these laws, statutes, and commandments, and Yah will put your oppressors underneath your feet.
Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, so that's what it is, fam. Y'all know how we do. So, hey, may Yah bless you. May He guard you. May He guide you. May Yah make His face to shine upon you and to show His favor unto you. May the Almighty, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful Yah lift His beautiful face upon us all, brothers and sisters, and give us all peace in the name of Yahushua, the Messiah, who is Prince of Peace. Till next we meet, may Yah bless, fam. Shabbat shalom.